I want to try to answer a question tonight, and hopefully it will be an answer that's helpful to us and brings us to Christ in a closer and more intimate way. And the question I want to ask is, why did God become man? Why did God become man? Why did God leave his heavenly throne above and take on flesh in the life of Jesus Christ? The answer to this question is at the very heart of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it begins where the story of the Bible begins, in Genesis chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you might turn to Genesis chapter 1. We'll read a small section out of Genesis chapter 1. It's page 1 of your Bibles. And in Genesis 1, it's the description of the creation of the world by God. In the beginning, God created. And what follows is a summary of the creation of the sun and the moon, the stars, the vegetation, the seas, the animals. And then finally, as the crowning achievement of creation, it describes the creation of man and woman. And this is where we pick up in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. It reads, "Then God said," after he had done these things, created these things, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Created in the image and the likeness of God. Tonight I brought a picture. It's a picture of something I think is good looking. It's a picture of me. Now you can tell that it has the resemblance of me. It's about a year old, so it doesn't have my facial hair that I have now. But it reflects what I look like. Now if you were to pretend that I was going to go and speak or to preach at a place that didn't know who I was, I might send a picture for a promotional brochure to tell them, Jake Hansen looks like this. This is me. This is the person who's going to come to preach to you, to teach you. You would know by looking at this picture when I showed up, when I came, that this was the person who came to speak. You would recognize me. Now, the text from Genesis 1 that we just read doesn't tell us exactly what it means that we are created in the image and the likeness of God. Many people speculate about what it means. Some have said that it is our ability to reason or to think. Others have said that it is an awareness of our existence. Still others think that it's moral reasoning or the ability to see right and wrong. Some have said immortality. Some have said personality, or even some have said relationship, the ability to have relationship. And then some point to the command to have dominion over creation as an aspect of what the image of God is. And it might include some or even all of these. We just don't know precisely. But more than all of these things, as we see in the New Testament, which we'll get to, the image of God is a revelation of the character of God. The image of God is a revelation of his character to us. Man was created for the purpose of pointing all of creation and one another to their Creator. Man was created to bear the image and the likeness of God in order to show the world who God is. But something happened just a page later in Genesis chapter 3, and you might know the story well. Adam and Eve, created in the image and the likeness of God, created for the purpose of declaring its creator to the world, they disobeyed God and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed, and something changed. This picture that I have a permanent marker that I'm going to go ahead and scribble on my face here. Distort this picture of me. This is like what has happened in our sin. In sin, we have distorted the image of God. If somebody walked into this room right now and didn't know that this was a picture of me, they could look at this picture and they would have no idea if it was a person. You could see an arm, I guess. They would have no idea that it was me. This world and human nature itself was fundamentally transformed as a result of disobedience and sin. It has led to a world filled with pain, struggle, insecurity, and separation from the abundant life promised to those in close fellowship with the Lord God. Like this crumpled up picture of me does not give a clear picture of what I look like. We no longer reflect the character of God in the way that we were created. The image of God is tarnished. The image of God is corrupted. So instead of a world where we live in security and confidence, we live in a world of shame. Instead of a world of unity and confession, we live in a world of blame. Instead of a world filled with good, we live in a world where evil mingles with good. Instead of human relationships filled with mutual love and respect, we have relationships filled with domination and manipulation and strife. Instead of enjoyment and rest in our labors, our life is filled with toil and struggle. Instead of an abundant life, we find death. Rather than seeing a vibrant and glorious image of God in each other, we see at best mere glimpses of the image and glory of God peeking out from the shroud of our sinfulness. We have, as Romans 1 says, been suppressing the truth in our unrighteousness. But thanks be to God, God has not left us on our own to speculate about who He is. God is a God who reveals Himself to us, sinful though we are. And He has commanded us not to speculate about who He is or try to create an image that would try to depict Him. He is the one who makes an image of Himself. Our attempts will only fall short. And as history has shown us, humans have begun to speculate about who God was, and they began to make statues to bow down and worship. I brought another picture. This one I drew with my eyes closed. It's actually pretty good for keeping my eyes closed. I thought it was going to turn out worse. But this is like what we do when we try to create our image of God. If somebody saw this picture, as clear as it seems to me that there's some facial hair here and a little bit of balding right here and some hair on the side, it looks a little bit like me, but if somebody just saw this random picture and I walked in, they probably wouldn't make any connection to who this picture is of. That's what man does, is they create images of God. They have exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, for an image of the form of corruptible man. So we find that the Lord God has revealed Himself in history to His people as a God who is compassionate and gracious, a God who is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He has shown Himself as one who will not strive with us, nor will He keep His anger with us forever. He is the one who, Scripture tells us, has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He is the one whose loving kindness for us is as high as the heavens are above the earth, and the one who removes our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And he has revealed himself to his people as a shepherd, leading them to green pastures and beside still waters, restoring their souls. He is the one who walks with people through the valley of the shadow of death, and whose goodness and loving kindness follows them all the days of their lives. He has revealed his character throughout history. But his image, the image that he has placed on humans, was still like this picture, distorted. The Lord God decided that in order for sinful humanity to have a full knowledge of him, he must come down himself. He knew that in order for us to have any chance of restoring the image of God that we were created with, he must empty himself of the form of the divine and take on the form of a slave, the form of a human. He would send his son, as Romans 8:3 says, not in the likeness of God, but in the likeness of sinful flesh, the flesh that you and I have. The incorruptible, undying, immortal God would take on the corrupted and dying and very mortal flesh. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 tells us that Jesus himself is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God has spoken in many ways, but most clearly, he has spoken to us in his Son, through whom he created the world. And Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Jesus is the image of God. Now, if we go back to my illustration of me going off to a place that doesn't know me to go to preach, and I send the picture, and somebody takes the picture and does this to it, takes it down and tears it up. I would want to go there and maybe replace the picture, but I would want to go there myself and tell them, I am Jake Hansen. I am the one who has come to preach. God became flesh to reveal what the corrupted image of humanity no longer could. He came himself in his very person to reveal who he was. God became a man in order to reveal his nature and his character exactly, precisely. In the life and work of Jesus, as we study his life, we find the nature and the character of the one true God. And what we find is a God who is restoring sight to the blind, healing the sick, calming the storms, feeding the hungry, binding evil and evil spirits. And ultimately, we find a God who is humbling himself in unfathomable love by dying a most miserable death on the cross. But why? Why did he come to do this? Now we can take this picture and we can try to flatten it out and get it right. And I might put a little spit on here to try to get this mark off. But it's corrupted. There's something wrong with it. It's never going to get back to the condition that it was created to be, an image of me. It needed a new picture, a picture like this, a new picture, the same picture. It's an okay picture. Why did Jesus come? The answer is simple. Because he wants to restore you. He wants to restore me. He wants to restore this image. He wants to make you new. The alienation and isolation, the broken relationships, the continual struggle with evil that gives us misery in this world, He wants to do away with this. We were created to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But we only glorify God when we enjoy Him, and we only enjoy Him when we glorify Him. He wants to transform us into His image again. He wants to transform us to share His glory and to share His love once again. And this is life. This is life, to be in the image of God. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. It's not a drab life. It's a life full, an abundant life. We must put our old selves to death, and we must be born again, born anew. This is why Paul says in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ, the image of God, lives in me. This is why Paul says in Romans 8:29 that those whom he foreknew, the believers, he also predestined to become conformed, shaped into the image of God. You see, all who have turned to the Lord in faith are in the process. We're in process of being transformed into the image of God. But what does this look like? What does it look like to be transformed into the image of God? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. In the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3. And Paul speaks of putting aside the fleshly lusts, to put them off, to take them off like clothing that's draped around us. And then in verse 8, I'll read in the middle of the paragraph there and begin there in verse 8. But now you also put them all aside, take them all off like clothing. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. And hear this. And have put on the new self, who is being made new again to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. Made anew into the image of God. The new self that the believer receives begins to exude a true knowledge of the glory of God, so that when people see you, believer in Jesus Christ, they begin to see in imperfect form the very character of God. And then in verse 11, if you read on with me, we see that the barriers which create isolation and blame in this world were being torn down by the work of Christ. This new creation, in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man. But Christ is all and in all. There is no more division for the believers in Jesus Christ between African Americans and Anglos. There is no division for those in Christ Jesus. And then in the next few verses, we see the new character of the new creature, who is being conformed into the image of God. And as I read this, I want you to notice that this is not just an image of a good human. This is an image of God Himself. It's a reflection of the very character of God. In verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, of kindness, of humility, of gentleness and patience. Remember how the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, a humble God who took on flesh. We're reflecting the very character of God. And then in verse 13, bear with one another and forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. And then verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. God is love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is the new image. This is the revelation of the character of God. As we meet together, as we meet other people, we're revealing the very character of God as a God of love and compassion, of kindness, of humility and gentleness. But you might be thinking, that you look a little bit more like this crumpled up piece of paper with the marks on you than this pristine picture here, unmarked. And you might be asking, how can I be transformed? I've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm still this crumpled up picture, and I don't know how to be pristine. And the truth is, we all are all crumpled up, still even now. But the question is, are you letting the Lord continue to transform you into his image? See, the scripture says here that you are being transformed. You're being transformed. You aren't transformed yet. You're being transformed into his image. Listen to these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 18, Paul writes that, but we all of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all with unveiled faces. That is, we can see without a veil over our eyes. With unveiled faces, we are looking intently as we look at ourselves in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image, from the glory of man to the glory of God. We all long for the day when we will once again reflect the brilliance of the glory of the Lord, the day when we will be perfected, when we won't struggle with any burdens or worries or sins of the flesh, the day when we somehow get to share in his glory. But now, we must turn to Jesus, beholding his glory, Jesus, the image. Behold his majesty and continue to be transformed from glory into glory. Transformed anew into the image of God, declaring the glory of the Lord to this dark world and to one another. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would transform us into your image, Lord, and drive the cares of this world out from us and the sins of our flesh out from us. Conform us into your image, even now as we walk on this earth, and drive out those things that lead people away from you, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would speak to these men and speak to me, that you would transform us and change us, that we might be lights for this world and this dark world, we pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Amen.